listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the show here. Have you ever felt like you're going through some difficult stuff and nobody knows, nobody even cares, and you wish that there was a little compassion and love for your situation? Well, we're going to talk with someone today who's going to talk about some serious efforts to get some support and acknowledgement for different kinds of struggles that are going on behind the scenes in people's lives. Bina Bendale, welcome to the show, Bina.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
I'm just thrilled to have you be here, and I've given a tiny smidgen of what you're about, so I'd like you to give us a full-blown picture of two things. What are you doing? And I'll stop there. I'll do part two in a minute. So what are you doing? Tell us what you're doing. Tell us all about your good stuff.
So my name is Bina Bendale. I was a bedside nurse for 18 years. I left it and I became a board certified nurse coach. And what a nurse coach is, honestly, it's an experience. And we have a whole lot of medical background along with being a mentor. And we're able to give you an experience like nothing else. And we use a holistic approach. So what I'm doing now is I have three children, two of them of which are on the spectrum. One is high medical needs and the other one is also with ADHD. And I really realized that the silent struggles with having real life with special kids was really prominent for me. So what I'm doing now is I'm going into corporate world and really helping employers add me as a service to help their employees feel heard, value, and feel compassion back, and really helping that work-life balance on topics that they're unable to express themselves, or they're just uncomfortable to come to work and talk about it. And a lot of the times, a lot of these problems that we see in corporate America generally doesn't have to do with the work in general. It's usually what's happening at home. And I really take and support the families where they are and really give them the support they need with the resources that I have. And my team is there to help them throughout that process. And it's very magical.
So let's do an example. Because we've talked before, I kind of get it. But the first time you explained it to me, I didn't follow it. I understand it's a benefit that employers are going to hire you. And they're going to hire you because without you, there's a big problem that's happening and nobody's talking about it and nobody's addressing it. So it'd be like you're in an office and there's a big hole in the floor and people keep walking around it and jumping over it, but they're not patching the hole. So you're addressing a hole in the floor, crappy analogy, but some problem that's simply being ignored right now. And it stems from the number of employees in a corporation that have children with a whole range of special needs that makes their life different than, okay, daycare, send kids to school, whatever that you sort of think of. Yeah. So tell me more, like give an example of someone in a company that hired you and how you support both the company and the employee.
Absolutely. So right now I am a big added benefit to Dome Constructions here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I am an added benefit to the HR department. So just like how you get free gym memberships, different things, my services is free to anyone that's involved in the company and everything stays confidential. So a case study that I can give you, and again, these are all people, the names are not real because I'm just doing it for HIPAA purposes, but I'm going to give you a scenario. You know, Janet came to me. She had a child with special needs, very overwhelmed from work, wanted to take a leave of absence, went to the HR director looking for resources. And instead of taking the leave of absence, they offered me as support. Shortly after working with me, I was able to help her balance out that life struggle that she was seeing by believing in her values, listening to what it is that she's going through, being able to support her with the educational needs that her daughter needed. And in what helped really benefited the company was Janet was able to go back to work. She didn't need the the leave of absence. They weren't able to needing to, you know, spread out her work or to hire a temporary employee. And what I did for that HR benefit or the HR team is I helped them burn out that fire. Because a lot of the times, a lot of people come to them with real problems, whether it's work-related or family-related. And, you know, and I go from management level all the way up to, you know, the executive suite. I had another gentleman who was also, I'm going to call him Steve. The gentleman was in high-level executive leadership, and he was struggling with ADHD. He never told the company he had ADHD. He was also being told that his productivity at work was coming low and low because he wasn't able to really expand or the tasks were getting so overwhelmed. And as I was able to help him with my added benefit, you know, after a while, I was able to teach him tools on how to manage his ADHD and really develop a system for him and organizing his task, organizing how his day-to-day was, where he was more productive. And then, and by less than 2 to 3 months, you know, the company noticed that, hey, you know, you went from being what we call scattered brained, right, at work to, hey, you're really focused now. Like, what has changed? And it was only after that he actually came public to the entire team that he says, I have been struggling with ADHD. And Bina really gave me the confidence to, one, own that I have ADHD, but was able to really help me perform in my daily tasks in my work so I'm able to be more productive. And those are just two case studies, and I can talk to you about other 30, 40, 50 case studies.
Well, and maybe we'll get to some as we go along. But what I'm hearing then, for me, for my benefit and for listeners, is people hire you, and why they would do that is because you have special skills to be able to, in the case of Janet, to help her manage what was for her an overwhelming problem because she had this kid with special needs at home. And you helped her reorganize, find other tools, do some things so she could continue to work. And because of you know how to do this, you helped him do that. In the case of Steve, you helped him save his job probably from being a scatterbrain and not productive, especially at the executive level, to where he was able to manage his stuff and handle it. And in those cases, the fact that you were there saved, you know, rehiring, turnover, a lot of stuff for the company perspective. And also from a personal perspective, gave those individuals a feeling that they had their life back and that they had the lever, you know, their hands on the levers of control. Is that true?
Yeah, and it did. And especially for Janet, I was able to relate to her. Because what happens a lot is, you know, especially in the world of having a parent with special needs, when you go to, and I love, you know, these assistant programs, therapists, and you can go to all these other resources, but it really makes a difference when you have the compassion because you're walking through it. Now, I not only have one child with special needs, my daughter has, you know, her issues with her eyes. So she also has doing therapy. And then my youngest is also autistic with ADHD. So it's like, if you think one's challenging, I got two and I got three, plus I have a business, plus I have my husband, plus a dog, plus life, plus everything else. So I understand, like I utilize the tools that I've learned from my own self to be able to be as successful as I am. So I'm able to pour this out to the world to let them know that, hey, I went from zero, feeling super depressed, you know, having raging thoughts, not feeling like I was in the right state of mind. And I was in therapy for many years. And it was so different the minute I connected with somebody else with special needs, where I was able to express myself. And they're like, oh, yes, that's normal. Because you're just in the thick of it, or you're going to get past it. These are tools that you are going to need. And the minute I received that, I was like, wow, because even in my career, I was always labeled as the nurse that calls out all the time, right? All the time, labeled as the bad employee, and to a point where it got to a level where I had to quit because I kept getting labeled and I kept going. And then finally, there was a point where, you know, HR, and they were very nice to me. My HR department was so nice, but they literally told me, they go, we just can't help you anymore because you've gotten so many filed of complaints because of attendance that, you know, either you quit or we let you go. Finally, one day I just said, then I quit. My kids will always win. And I was able to successfully utilize that, find a gap in this world, and now shine my expertise in this role. And I want other, I don't want other people to be in that situation, because we, it's hard to find a job, one, and it's hard to find something that is flexible or has those accommodations that you would need for that, those silent struggles. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a special needs case. It can be depression. It can be a, you know, a divorce. It can be someone, you know, a relative that's passing away. The grief, those silent struggles are there. And some people just don't know how to cope with it. And that comes into the workforce. And that's when morale happens. That's when miscommunications occur. A lot of, you know, dissatisfactions. And with the utilization of my services, it's like it's improved, right? Because the morale is better. People want to come to work. People want to engage with each other.
Well, they feel like the company cares at least a little about them and is interested in providing the kind of stuff. So I was curious, as you were listing all the stuff you have to do, and you said you have a dog too, I was wondering if that giraffe behind you is in the backyard.
No, but I love giraffes. But if there was one in my backyard, I would be very pleased.
Yeah. I'm just teasing. I just saw the giraffe back there. So if I follow the story through, and I've been an executive, okay? I've been in the C-suite in multiple companies in the United States and Canada and different places. So I know what it's like to have a, quote, problem employee.
Yeah.
And I know what it's like to know, and I know what it's like to not know what's really going on, other than attendance and performance and things like that. And so, you know, the idea that you bring a skill set that deals specifically with either personal issues or being heard or having someone safe to talk to. Tell me what's the difference is between like an employee assistant, excuse me, EAP, some kind of employee assistance program where they're supposed to be able to talk to counselors and help with maybe some of these similar things, and what you offer. What is, tell me what the difference is there.
So the main difference is, first, I want to, EAP is very good with what they do. I don't want to tell people that they're bad or anything else. They are very good at what they do. The thing is, the problem with EAP is that sometimes it takes people five times to tell their story over and over and over again before they get to the help that they really need. With my company, I guarantee the company a 48-hour turnaround. So it's a real-life, in-person situation that they're able to talk to me or my staff, and we get them the help that they need more real-time. And they only have to repeat their story once. Because the number one thing, and we're also, with having, you know, a high level of medical knowledge, right, and being a mentor, it really combines this uniqueness of, say, an employee was newly diagnosed with being a diabetic. Well, I can help with the diabetes, understanding the the pathological aspects of it, the medications behind it, but I also can really coach around the lifestyle changes that comes associated with that, or how much mental block people would have, or the dissociations with it. Whereas, and again, I don't know what level an employee assistant program has, but I can honestly state that they don't have a nurse coach, you know, on staff. They have clinicians, they'll have social workers, which again, they are very good at what they do. The difference with us is that we are also board certified. So it's really taking a nursing, because nurses and teachers are the number one trusted profession in the world. And adding in that special touch of bringing back that compassion of having a specialized nurse's touch to your company.
So that's fabulous. And, you know, your name thing says Nurse Coach Bina. And I have to say, to start with, I didn't really understand, but you're a nurse. You had a million years of nursing, including, you know, all the training and certifications of nursing. And then you've also done the work to be a coach, which... Mm-hmm. I think of coaching as, you know, being the people encouragement business, and, you know, that's one way of describing it. And so you're combining this set of skills with the medical knowledge, some personal experience from your own, you know, struggles walking through with the children that you have and it affecting your work like it did. And then also learning the skills of coaching, which like athletic coaching or anything else, it's a skill of helping people realize their opportunities and potential and get rid of the stories of, oh, no, I could never do this and all the rest of that kind of stuff. Yeah. And so you're combining those things in a package, and that's what you offer. Is that right, or did I miss something?
That is correct. Yeah, we use a holistic approach. So, you know, we teach a lot of meditation, visualization. Some nurse coaches are somatic healers. Some nurse coaches are energy healers. We can incorporate Reiki. It's just a different, it's just a unique experience.
Wow. So that's really exciting. So you talked about having a staff. Are each one of the members that of your company nurses and coaches? So they're the same thing you are?
Yeah. So everyone in my company is a board certified nurse coach. That is one of the requirements to have. And or they have to be working towards their board certification. And so, yes, all of my employees have that. And that's why we can guarantee that 48-hour turnaround rate. And just any expansion, right? If people wonder like, oh, can I hold a capacity of, you know, adding 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, companies underneath me, and say each company is 500 to 1,000, maybe 10, 15,000 employees. The answer is yes, because there's 15,000 nurse coaches out there. All I have to do is put a call to action out, and people would be willing to help in a heartbeat, because that's what nurses do. Nurses are always willing to help, because I really do believe that nurse coaching is going to shape healthcare. Right now, healthcare is crumbling, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. It's crumbling, and there's not many appointments. Your hand comes in. The ERs are overworked. There's no hospital beds nowadays, and the staff burnout is just so real, because there's no breaks for these individuals. And if we can take a preventative measure by helping people really have their life altered by a personalized nurse coach to help them adapt these modalities in their life. I mean, I've seen nurse coaches, you know, go from somebody who was highly diabetic to having to take no medications. Right? And I've known someone that went from, you know, possibly even helping somebody reverse or decrease the amount of cancer. Because we really do believe that we're revolutionizing healthcare by preventing a lot of this stuff and going back to just the basics. Are you eating correctly? Are you sleeping enough? Are you going outside and enjoying the free walks with the free vitamin D, right?
Yeah. How long is the nurse, like, until I met you, mm-hmm. I never heard of a nurse coach. Right. So that might be my ignorance, or it might be whatever it is. How long has it been where nurses have then also gone into coaching to create the thing of a nurse coach?
I'm happy you asked this question. So nursing has always developed coaching in their careers. We're always innovating. We're always educating staff. We're always educating patients, right? Or staff members, or however it is. And it was only about 7, 8 years ago when somebody had the idea of, why don't we make this into a certification and turn this into its own entity? So you have, you know, the nurse anesthetist, then you have nurse practitioners. Now you have nurse coaching, right?
So I wouldn't have ever put that together. Yeah.
It's only been around for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And we are literally the trailblazers to really push this out. And that's why it's so pivotal with the 15, 20,000 nurse coaches that are out there right now in the world, right? Or in the country. And I know we are expanding into Europe, into other countries at the moment, and it's really going to revolutionize healthcare. And it's the more we talk about it, I can guarantee for companies who jump on this now, it's going to be standard later on. And we're trying to make it a standard so that way people are able to access these modalities and to access us in such a healthy way, because we give them a safe place, a confidential place to talk to, with no judgment. And it's what they want to say and where they want to go as like a coach, what they want to do. And we're just here to support them and give them those tools to do it successfully.
So even until right now, when you said that, like I've been treated or looked at by a nurse practitioner before. I didn't know there was a nurse anesthetist. I knew a nurse practitioner had to have some additional something or other besides being a nurse. And now what you're saying in 2015 or 16 or something, somebody created the idea of a certification that's not a nurse practitioner, but is a nurse coach to do these things where you add the skill and the approach of coaching. It's interesting because especially in the medical thing, because doctors, you know, they tell you, do this, you have to do this. And coaching, as you know, is about helping people, encouraging them, helping them, empowering them to do stuff themselves, to take control and realize what they can do. And you do it from the perspective of having this medical skill also.
Yeah.
And so it's combining a different approach to care, right?
Yeah.
Medicine's always been sort of a prescriptive approach as opposed to a coaching approach to change behavior.
Yeah.
And so you're combining those skills. That's fabulous. Did I get that right?
And we're not at bedside. And that's the best part. So each individual nurse coach, depending on where they are in their career paths, they're their own business. So it is because we are still developing these roles. I know of 3 nurse coaches who have developed a nurse coaching role in the hospital setting, where they are now developing departments around it to help the staff on staff in real-time care to support the, you know, the nurses, the doctors, the aides, whoever it is that needs that additional support during that time. And that's why it's so pivotal it's life-changing. And that's why I tell people, like, nurse coaching, you can't really explain it until you experience it.
Well, you've done a pretty good job with me. I'm getting it now. So, and what you've just said is we now have nurse coaches in hospitals, and they're not really focused on the patients. They're focused on taking care of staff and the nurses that are the bedside nurses and those that are in the position that you used to be in, which was a bedside nurse with all this drama going on at home. And there was nobody that was there for you to assist you like you now assist others to have mechanisms and stuff to manage it, to cope with it, to deal with the stress of feeling I'm not good enough and people are mad at me and all the rest of the crap that goes on when you feel like you're not showing up at work like you want to.
And it goes across the board, right? When your life outside work is in chaos, right? You're not fully performing at work. Whatever type of job you're doing. So when we take this added benefit role and we really focus in on that work-life balance, and it's not even a balance, it's more of a harmony, right? Because there's no true balance in life. It's a harmony. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. There's high pitches, low pitches, whatever. You have to find your true harmony. And the minute you find what works for you, because remember, the number one thing nurse coaches do is we don't tell you what to do. All we're doing is we're asking you powerful questions. You're going to have the insight for yourself. We're going to help guide you. But the insight has to come from you. Those aha moments has to come from you, because that's when radical, dramatical changes occur in your life, because it came from your idea. And now you are more excited to actually put that processes in place. Now, if I sit here and tell you, hey, Keelan, I'm going to give you 10 tasks to do, it's going to feel like a burden. But if you came up with those tasks yourself and you're like, I want to go to the gym every morning at 5:00 and I hold you accountable to that, it is perseverance on your end, because you're going to want to feel motivated because that came from you, not what I want, because it's what we do is we help support you in your life. So it's very individualized. And I think that's what's the best part, is that there is no real true secret sauce. The true secret sauce is the experience of people feeling heard, valued, without discriminations, without judgment, and really releasing that social stigma that a lot of people need to go, especially a lot of moms, right? Like, got to cook dinner. I have to do this. The beds need to be made. Dishes need to be made. I got to go to work. And then it's like, when do you have time for yourself? And so it's like really going back to that self-care piece. I have to remind everybody that if you don't fill your own cup, you cannot fuel anyone else's. And I think that's where a lot of the burnout we see in any type of
let's talk about that for a minute. How much, when you look at parents of special needs kids who are coping with that tremendous list of things to do, work and care and all the rest, or you look at overworked hospital staff who not enough of them and there's too much, you know, too much demand, how much of the struggle that these individuals are feeling is due to lack of self-care?
Oh, almost 75%, maybe 80%.
Yeah.
I can tell you this from my own story, mm-hmm. is that when my son was born and my eldest Rohan, and he had high medical needs, I was working full time. I'm not going to lie to nobody. I don't even know when I showered in between. Like, there were days I'd come back. I'd come home. My husband was traveling a lot then. So it was literally, I come home to my child. Then I would have all these struggles, or I'd put him to sleep, comes in, and you think you got 5 minutes in. And the next thing I know, he's crying again. There has been many times when I've had to go to my mom's house or my sister's house where I'm like, can you hold him for 15 minutes? And I'm in the shower and I'm still getting the knock, 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 Bina, he's crying. And he was high medical at this point. So, you know, there's a lot of nervousness with my families of like, I'm not even sure how to manage this. And it was knock, 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 Bina, he's crying or he's turning blue. And I still remember this. I had to put my hair up, put it out half, you know, naked, put a thing on. I had to go back out to help my kid now because he had a lot of airway issues. And then it was just by the time it comes up, then it's like an hour later, it's like, can I please finish my shower? Like, can I please go finish my shower? And it was, those struggles are real. And that's where I say it's like, they're not just small little pieces. It's these parents are really facing, like, when a child's having a tantrum versus a meltdown, right? Tantrums are generally redirectable. They're able to tell a child, redirect them and comes in. But when you have a child in a meltdown, sometimes there is no redirection. You're in it for 2 or 3, 4 hours. My son, he was a headbanger, meaning he would hit his head literally on anything because he didn't communicate for 2 years, almost 2.5 years. And he put his head, one day I remember he bashed his head so hard through our wall where I had to take him out to the ER to make sure he didn't have a brain bleed. But it was just a lot of struggles behind that because now the next morning I'm supposed to go to work and now I'm in the ER where I work. And here I am going, okay, he's being admitted. And guess what? My mom or my husband's watching him during the day when I have to go downstairs and work. And then on my breaks, I'm going upstairs to check on him.
You know, I can tell you just from my own experience, the stories you're telling me, they're totally believable, but so totally out of the scope of not seeing, you know, like us other people, like we don't see that or think about it or anything. What do we need to do? Like, okay, that's happening. And I suspect that your stories aren't, whoa, that just happens one in a billion. Like they're all over the place. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do different? Like if you could wave a wand, and I know you can't fix everything, but like what are the steps we need to start taking besides, you know, hiring you and other nurse coach companies? But I mean, what are the steps we need to do so that we stop pretending this isn't happening, so that when we do become aware of it, it's not some horrific thing or we can ignore it? Like, what do we need to do?
Going back to compassion. Going back to listening to body language, or going back to saying, hey, Kaylin, how was your day this morning? And if they go, blah, I don't know. It's like, whoa, hold on. How are you really doing? Do you want to talk? Having a conversation goes so long and so far. But listening, that deep, active listening and feeling that people actually truly care again is honestly the key. There is no secret sauce than that.
Yeah. How do we institutionalize caring? It's funny because when I train coaches, and I do, I have clients that are coaches, and I train them about how to coach and everything. And even when I have clients or coaches that are clients and I'm trying to help them learn how to get clients, the thing I say is, well, the first thing you have to do is exercise your give a crap muscle.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what you're saying. How do we institutionalize compassion?
It goes back to your why. Why are you the way you are? The more you understand yourself, the more you understand what you are capable of giving, the more you understand what your specialty is. Mine, it took me 40 years to realize where I truly shine in this world. I knew I was brought here to do something. And I thought it was being a nurse at bedside. And I did really well at being a nurse at bedside. Then I knew that calling kept coming to me saying, there's something more out there. There's a reason why I am blessed with 3 children, all with different types of special needs. And it's going back and listening to the universe of saying, okay, you have a special gift, which is the act of caring, the act of listening, the act of being able to be in the room and make about, if there's 10 people, I can guarantee you I can make 10 people cry in less than 10 minutes, because it's just the acknowledgement of just saying, hey, Keelan, you know what? I care about you today. How are you doing? And some people, when they tell me, Bina, I can't do this, because I also coach, I also have an academy, which is very well successful on teaching this to other nurse coaches. And the number one thing I tell people is go back to your why. Why are you passionate? Why are you going back to being a nurse? Now, in coaching world, like in your world, if they're not a nurse and it comes in, well, what's your passion? What is it that you want to change in the world? Not just like coaching, I want to coach clients, right? I want to get all these people and I want all this money. That's not going to work for anybody. You're going to fall flat on your face for that. Really have that compassion of what do you want to change in the world? And if it's caring, well, how do you want to be? How is it that you want to care? What shines from you? It's like I always call the Care Bear light, right? It's like, it reminds me of the Care Bear light. And I call Dave Horton a Care Bear because he's the best, biggest acknowledger I've known to this day, where he acknowledges people and people are not used to that. Like, right. He doesn't acknowledge you today. And that's where I go when I teach and when I coach in my program is, well, what can you do that's going to make you different to the world, but not different for money's sake, different in the world of you're just a genuine person, because you have to practice what you preach. You are here, who you see me is the exact same person you're going to meet, whether it's live, not live, Facebook, not Facebook. I'm still going to be the silly Bina, the outrageous one, people that says things that's bold or tell you the truth. And I think that's the biggest thing is, and that's where coaches or non-coaches or whatever it is, that's where it goes back to, is that compassion.
When you're working with parents who let's say there's an imaginary person, or maybe you can think of a real one, doesn't matter, in a company that's hired you and they come to you, how much of, like you talked about going back to your why, what drives you, your caring, your compassion, how do you want to, the phrase I use, add good to the world.
Yep.
You know, how do you want to add good to the world? How much of that conversation do you have and is helpful when you're helping that employee deal with their current struggle?
I follow them where they are presently. I ask them what is the most important thing they want to work on at that time. Mm-hmm. And I support them exactly where they are. And within the conversation, it might go from having a relationship with their daughter or their thing, and they're having meltdown after meltdown after meltdown, to then 30 minutes later, the conversation derails and they're talking about a traumatic birth, how this hell may have strung up from their traumatic birth and how, you know, there's a lot of PTSD there. So it's like, okay, well, do you want to surface that more, or do you want to not talk about that today? Well, this particular client was like, no, I don't want to talk about it today. It's just too hard to talk about. as that came up, I started noticing that this was a roadblock. Like, she kept going because she feels guilty that she did something wrong when she didn't. She thought it was her fault during the pregnancy of why her daughter or her child was having these medical or these having being a, you know, a parent with special needs. And it was only after resurfacing, even though, yes, we're talking about the child and what it is, but then the root with that was she felt guilt that she's never felt before. She thought it was maybe she had, you know, some fish she was supposed to eat or some seafood or something that she was eating throughout the whole pregnancy. She went back all the way and was dealing with that. And that's when I really have to stop and let them know, stating, you know what? Let your emotions be your emotions and let's learn to grieve that emotion so you can move on. Because when people think of grief, people think it's always when someone dies. People don't think of grief as when you lose a friendship or when you have a situation or if you have a thought that keeps reoccurring and you're just like comes in and you're having that hard time moving past it. You're still going through the stages of grief. So it's a huge different thing. And then it's like using, you know what, and I know you're very familiar with the three principles. Where is your thought coming from, right? Coaching world, we do a lot of thought work, which is very similar. We just take it a different approach. But even it's like, well, can we alter the way you're thinking with that thought? And you're telling yourself you're guilty. I must have done this to I have done the best that I can, which then changes the reaction. And that takes time. That takes time to do. But then once you release that guilt, it's like, okay, well, now you've released that grill. Now, what can we do to have you have a better bond with your child or have a better relationship with your spouse or have a better relationship with the community? Because you've now released any guilt that you've thought you've done on yourself. And these are real situations.
I totally believe they are. It's not difficult for me to see, with this enormous size of your heart and the amount of love that you carry, why you were blessed with three children the way you were, because you have the compassion and you have the heart to not only love them through this period of growth and entering into the world successfully, but also allow this situation to strengthen, to nurture, to bless you so that you can have more of this to share. So just wanted to say that it's clear to me why you have it, because your heart's big enough to do it. I want to make sure we get time for you to tell people. So I asked you, what do we have to do? And you said, we have to go back to caring. I want you to tell people whatever you wish that they would know about you, about your company, about the profession, about whatever you want to talk about to spread the message that you have for people.
The number one thing I always tell people is if you're listening to this particular LA Talk Radio, share this with everybody. Because the more acknowledgement this is, the more the word gets spread, the more sincere and the more nurse coaches can do. I have a dream that one day, and I'm hoping it maybe sooner rather than later, probably at this point, is to develop a center for parents with special needs. And having that revenue come from multiple businesses, I'm able to really develop this center where not only am I servicing the children with special needs and servicing them with OT, PT, ABA therapy, but also making sure that the facility is equipped for special needs, because that's a whole nother conversation I can have. And then in the back, right, servicing the parents. Having a parent give, like saying, hey, you know what, you're having childcare, having sibling play, having an acupuncture or a Reiki master or a yoga studio or something where they're not just sitting in the car like I did for many years and with two kids that are less than a year apart, right, pretending to play picnic or struggling with that and having your child to go to therapy and you can't leave because sometimes therapy is only 45 minutes. And really giving them a place to come and acknowledge that, or just to come have a coaching call, right? To acknowledge what comes in. But what I've realized is things are very expensive, you know, because it's a medical grade. I'd have to have a medical grade bathroom. I'd have to have a lifestyle, you know, an adult size changing table, things that accommodates that people may or may not realize that it is. And I think that's where, if anyone were to listen, that is like my biggest dream. And that's why not only when I'm helping these employees, it's really shaping myself to get on, you know, speaking engagements, to on these large scale talks, so that way I am able to spread the word to then ultimately help these parents in the special need department. That is, you know, I can tell you it's a piece of my heart. And, you know, I'll probably be doing this for a very long time. And if I make money from it, great. And if I don't, fine with me too, because I'm still going to keep going.
You know, I love it, because that's the key thing. And people ask, well, what would you do if you weren't getting paid? So what percentage of people do you think are as uneducated, ignorant, unaware as I was? Like, I hadn't heard of a Nurture Coach till I talked to you. And if I talk North America, U.S. and Canada, or whatever, like, what percentage of the people do you know from your experience don't even know what you are?
I'm going to say at least 98%. There's not.
Oh,
98.
I'm horrified.
That's why.
I mean, I'm horrified that I didn't know. Yeah.
But that's why it's like, we need to be on more stages. I want to be on more stages. I want to be able to empower not only one person, but if I can empower 50, 30, 40 people at one time, right? Because then it's a ripple effect. You come in thinking that you're a solo person, right? But my goal is then at the end of my speech, within that 30,000 people or 40,000 people or 100 people, maybe if it's even 10 people, you're walking out with a community. You're walking out with more compassion. You're walking out with more understanding about that human connection and going back to that human connection. And that's the biggest empowerment, because Nurse Coaches has only been around for 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 years. And we need that voice. We need to be on platforms like this. So I appreciate for even letting me be a guest, so that way I'm able to spread this word. Because, you know, when you get nurses, when nurses unite, you know, your nurses unite.
Well, I love it. And when we're done, I mean, we won't be able to while we're here, because when it ends, it ends.
Yeah.
But I'm going to reach out to you. I know another lady who's not a nurse, but she's a mother of kids with special needs, and she has an amazing story, and it's a good connection. So, and she's doing a lot of stuff with her experience that she's had. She's an advocate, and, you know, and she has a show. Anyway, it's just a good connection. So we'll do that. So I want you to make sure you tell me, and tell me and our listeners how to, I'm a whole bunch of things. First, tell me how to get a hold of you. How do we find about you specifically? And then how do we find out more about Nurse Coaching as a service?
Yeah. So there are several ways. I'm very publicly on Facebook. So I am Bina Bendel, or Bina Nurse Coach on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn as Bina Bendel. And my website, it's Bina@BinaNurseCoach.com. And on that website, it's going to give you every information you need to know about corporate events, lunch and learns, engagements, speaking opportunities that I do, the academy, which I teach other nurse coaches on how to get into these large organizations, and also the Real Life with Special Kids program that I am creating, which I've kind of combined those two now with the businesses. And a lot of it is just, I'm reachable. I'm really out there on social media.
All right, so I'm going to spell Bina, B-I-N-A. You see your name there, Bendale, B-E-N-D-A-L-E. Bina Bendale. Did I spell that right?
You did.
Yeah, when you have a name like Kellen Flukiger, you pay attention to that sort of stuff. So, all right, so you're active on social. Website again?
It's BinaNurseCoach.com.
Okay, BinaNurseCoach.com. And I would just encourage whoever's watching to look up the nurse coaching thing and think of it as, you know what a nurse practitioner is. And now we've heard the term nurse anesthetist. But I feel like her estimate's probably not wrong. Nurse coaching, a nurse coach is an unknown quantity by and large. And so there's a lot of education to do. And I loved your description of a center of some kind where a kid can come and get some stuff, therapy or whatever they need. And there's a place for the parent not to take a shower. I mean, going back to your example, but to have the conversation, a coaching conversation or, you know, the kind of support that they need. And it all stems from our awareness, and it stems from our willingness to be human and to be connected with one another in this kind of love that you've described.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love that. So what didn't I ask you, and what didn't you get to say yet that would make me cry or that I need to know?
You know, if it wasn't for my children, I'm not going to lie to you. If it wasn't for them, I'm not sure where I would be in this world. But having this blessing and having this calling is over the moon. I don't know how to explain it. And my husband is my rock. And I can tell you this, if I didn't have my little family amongst myself and my dog Pluto, I just don't
and
know.
And the giraffe in the yard.
I don't know if I'd be here. And it's really tough to state that publicly. But, you know, those real struggles that we talk about and now having that passion and finding this new passion in life is really fulfilling. And this is a life mission. This is not something that's going to go overnight. I don't expect it to go, you know, from 0 to 60 or whatever the situation is. It's knocking on one company door at a time, one contact at a time, and just pushing my message through and really wanting to help as many companies as I can, because then I'm able to support the families who may or may not be able to afford me or to afford care. And this is the service that they would be able to come, because then the companies are going to, they're going to look at the companies that they feel more valued. And life-changing. It is really life-changing. And I keep saying this. It's an experience. I can't explain it by anything else. It's a true experience to be. And I would love to offer you some free coaching too. And you'd experience me even more on a one-on-one level.
Great. So how many nurse coach organizations are there? We're just about out of time, but I'm just curious. There's you have a company, and this has existed for, let's say, 8 or 9 years. How many, you said there's 15 or 20,000 nurse coaches? How many programs are there?
There's about five different programs, and they're all on the American Holistic Nursing Association's website. So you can look them up there. I don't want to state it because I don't want to state the names that are incorrectly. But if you want more information, I'd either reach out to me, or you can go to the American Nursing Holistic Academy Association's website, and they have all the information you need on that.
Bina, I want to thank you for your compassion. I want to thank you for who you're being, for the love in your heart, for raising kids with special needs, for treating them as the blessing that they really are, for the massive size of your heart in trying to help people who are having these silent struggles, whether it's with kids with special needs or their own stuff that they didn't want to talk about, like the Steve example. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for everything that you are doing and for sharing all of your heart and your passion with us today.
Thank you. I'm blessed to be here, and I'm blessed for as many people to listen to this as many as I can. So I appreciate this, and I appreciate you.
You're welcome, and be sure, I know you will, but share it and reshare it, and so will we. so that the message, a needed message of humanity and of love, gets spread. So thank you for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
I urge you, this is important. Like, I didn't know what a nurse coach was. Now I do. And I talked to Bina before, so I got some idea. But think about it, a compassionate approach where at your work, you are able to get the kind of support you need as a human with all the different kinds of struggles that we all know are going on and that we conveniently ignore. And I can tell you that this is one of many really important things. Thank you for listening tonight. And I know, reach in your heart and find compassion for people around you, because love and compassion are key ingredients to creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.